Peter said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And his brother Andrew looked at Peter, shook his head, and said, "No, he's not. You and your crazy ideas." And in a huff, he walked off. We've heard that phrase so many times. We don't think about how novel it was when Peter said it. Many years ago, on a trip to Ireland, I visited a place called Newgrange, which is perhaps a megalithic tomb, although no one really knows for sure what it is. Covered in recent decades by sheep dung and grasses, Newgrange was built 5,000 years ago, or about 3200 BC. This tomb or sacred site is older and in many ways more significant, albeit less well known, than Stonehenge. At the winter solstice, light shines through a narrow passageway to the innermost chamber. There are other sites nearby that mark the equinox and summer solstice in just the same way. The front facade of Newgrange is covered in solid quartz, which archaeologists believe had to be quarried and hauled up the river almost 50 miles. All of this is quite remarkable because it was built 5,000 years ago, suggesting an organized society and organized religion, when we might picture cavemen. Millennia after it was built, Newgrange became a holy site for the Celts. Then it was pillaged by Vikings. Then Christians built a monastery on top of this same site, not knowing what was underneath. Then it was pillaged by Vikings again. Then a church was built, and then it became farmland. It was briefly discovered and then forgotten in the 17th century. Then in 1962, someone discovered what was underneath these curious-looking mounds along the river and began excavating. When I was there, what made the greatest impression on me while standing on that hallowed ground was that this place has been considered a sacred site by humans for thousands of years. Different religions, but human beings, ancient and modern, reaching for the holy in their own time, in their own way, through their own limited understanding, here on this spot. What was it about this place? Perhaps in your travels, you've encountered places like that. In today's gospel, we are introduced to a town by the name of Caesarea Philippi. This was another of those places like Newgrange. Caesarea Philippi was first a place of worship for Baal. Later, this place was called Panias for the Hellenistic god Pan. Herod built up the city in honor of Caesar Augustus, who was considered a god by the Romans. After Herod's death, it became the territory of his son Philip. According to the historian Josephus, Caesarea Philippi was a revered site, long associated with both pagan and Jewish religious events. It is here in Caesarea Philippi, at this holy site, that Jesus asks, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And the disciples, feeling a little nostalgic in this place, answer with things they know. You could be Elijah or Jeremiah or John the Baptist or some other prophet. This is an odd response. There is widely varying thought in Jewish belief about the afterlife, or even if there exists an afterlife, but they do not generally ascribe to the belief in reincarnation. So that the fact that the disciples pull these names out of their collective past is odd. And they don't say, "Jesus, you remind me of Elijah or John." They tell him people are saying he is one of those people. Come back to life. Regardless of what someone thinks about reincarnation or the afterlife, one thing we know for sure is you cannot go backward. You cannot go back to the way things were. Even if you feel something like nostalgia for your childhood, and so you go to the places you visited as a child, it is not the same, since you are no longer a child. You cannot go back. You can long for what once was, but you cannot repeat it. Sometimes we would love to go back to the way things once were, but it seems the world is not made that way. This is why Peter has the perfect answer. He said to Jesus, "You are the Messiah, the one we have been waiting for." In this, Peter recognizes Jesus as something entirely new and unique, but also something longed for and waited for. Jesus is not just what was expected. Jesus, while firmly rooted in the tradition of his ancestors, is more than the sum of his people's past imagination and hope. He is in himself the revelation of God in that time and place. Peter's answer is the wonderful acknowledgement of the past and the only tradition he has ever known, coupled with the perception that what he is witnessing is entirely new, a new foundation. He, Peter, becomes the rock, the stepping stone, the bridge, and the way forward into this new revelation of God. Jesus says, "Here is where we begin." We still stand on this rock, if only precariously. Religion has never been a static thing. If it is, it is dead and forgotten, covered by so much earth and grass and sheep dung. Instead, our understanding of the Holy One changes and grows, sometimes requiring a painful letting go of what we once thought and what we once held dear. If we say we possess the truth, unerring, then we cannot change as our understanding changes. We cannot see that God is doing something new. Our tradition and the past informs us. It informs our hopes and dreams. But it was the gift of imagination which allowed Peter to say, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Upon hearing this new idea that had the unmistakable ring of truth, it is hard to imagine Andrew saying to his brother, "Oh, Peter, no, he's not. He's not the Messiah. Speak for yourself. That's not what we believe." Of course, we don't know what Brother Andrew said, or any of the disciples for that matter, but Jesus receives what Peter has to say. I doubt that Peter was absolutely sure when he blurted out these words. As for us, we've heard these words, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." We've heard them for so long we could forget that when they came out of Peter's mouth, they were entirely new, novel, and strange. Sometimes we've equated our faith with assurance or being sure of things. Sometimes we've equated faith with loyalty or steadfastness as a possession we grasp. But faith is not about us, nor entirely up to us. Faith is beyond us, greater than us, something we reach for through the ages. Faith is someone and something that reaches for us. Faith is something we have glimpsed in the past. Even more so, faith is that which awaits us.